She is the fine sports journalist for the Times, covering the Kraken, going on about 2 years now. She's the NC State Wolfpack alum, now living large here in the Pacific Northwest on Twitter. Follow along using @KateSchefty. Kate, always great having you. How's life on the NHL beat treating you?
Ooh, I could use a breather. It's been a very intense week. A trade deadline was just a couple of hours ago, and now, you know, everything is kind of settling into place a little bit for the last month of the regular season, which should be a wild one.
And, of course, you just got back from Canada, so you've been on the move a bit. So a little catch-up. Last spring, their second as an expansion franchise, they beat the defending champs in round one, lost the game 7 to Dallas. So entering this season, if you think about Matty Beniers, a full year under his belt, they didn't make any blockbuster moves. What, if you hearken back to around October, Kate, what did you see as reasonable expectations for year three of this franchise?
You know, it didn't seem like they made a lot of moves in the off season, but there were a couple very notable ones, and it's more who the Kraken didn't re-sign, because honestly, it's not hard to harken back to it, because it is it's kind of a thing that just keeps kind of coming up over and over again this season. But they were known during that playoff run. They, you know, everyone kind of knew it about them in the league, and it is really what brought them a lot of success. Very balanced scoring and kind of a hard workmanlike game, and a huge part of that was their fourth line, and they allowed Morgan Geeky, Ryan Donato, and Daniel Sprong, their fourth line kind of grinders but also goal scorers, to depart in free agency, and they re-signed a couple new guys and were counting on, you know, that kind of the same basic principle to keep applying, and guys like Matty Beniers to step it up and be even better. And they got off to a really rough start and kind of hemorrhaged a lot of points along the way, and they find themselves just outside six points as we're talking right now, outside of a wild card spot, because they've been very streaky this season. Last year there was this picture of consistency. They never lost more than three games at a time, but it's been wild swings in both directions this year, and the fourth line hasn't been, you know, kind of that threat that it was last year, and it's been a different it all looked so similar going into the season, but it's been very different in a lot of ways in 2023-24.
Yeah, I had seen you on an interview, I think the segment is called In the Box, about 8 weeks ago, and you talked about they go on an 8-game winning streak, then they drop 8-10. I wanted to actually get to Matty Beniers, now his second full season, you know, Calder Trophy winner as a Rookie of the Year. I know back in January he took a hit from that 6'8 monster. Tyler Myers missed 5 games. I mean, as we speak, Kate, he's got 8 goals, sophomore slump. Kind of, what's the word about what's been a noticeable dip in his production?
No one wants to throw out that phrase, but it's kind of an impossible thing not to consider here. He was just so very, you know, consistently productive last year, and just so good. A huge part of why their top line, him, Jordan Eberle, Jared McCann, were so good, and nothing's gone right for Matty Beniers this year. Every once in a while, he scores in back-to-back games, and everyone's ears kind of perk up and go, "Oh, is this it? Is this?" But then, you know, he goes quiet again. And he's been pretty, you know, it's been kind of hard to spot him out there. And he did take another very heavy hit in Columbus, another big guy, missed some time. And it's a problem that he's been facing so far in his career, is that he could probably stand to put on a little bit of size. And that the season is it's a rough, long regular season. And keeping on weight has been a struggle for him, and that might, you know, be part of it. He's getting knocked around out there sometimes, but nothing has quite gone the way for him that anybody expected or hoped. And It's led to, at the same time, Jordan Eberle, his longtime linemate who signed an a two-year extension this morning, you know, his numbers kind of dropped as well. They've had scoring issues. You know, they were kind of ahead of the curve at times last year, and that in some ways that did kind of finally catch up with them. And it's been an off year for Matt. Unfortunately, it's a contract year for him. So we'll see what happens this summer when they need to re-up him.
Talking Kraken hockey, KHFD Seattle Times. Now, no team in the league with a winning record has less than Seattle's goals, 174. And you mentioned the trade deadline has come and gone. You mentioned the re-signing of Eberle. They traded Wennberg to the Rangers. You think they tried to bring in more scoring punch. Was there any kind of level of surprise, that they, in essence, lacked any kind of move like that?
Not really. They were kind of, even last week, you know, the talk was, are they going to be sellers, right? They're like 9 points behind the second wild card spot. There's no chance here. But then, you know, they've had a very good run. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10 games, which is exactly what they needed to stay in it. They've just kind of managed to stay right there, never quite out of it, but never really in it. They've only been in a playoff spot for a random day or two this entire season, but they've still, when they need to turn it on, courtesy of these long winning streaks, they've, you know, when their backs are against the walls, which again is kind of like last year's team and where they like to be sometimes, it seems like. They like to be the underdog. They like to be counted out. And they, you know, when they've needed to, when they're just in danger of falling all the way out of it, they're like, wait. And then they go off on a great run, and they're on one right now. And I don't think anyone was really, you know, at best they were going to be here right now, you know, not totally out of it. So stocking up for a playoff run that was and remains pretty dubious wasn't really going to happen this season. It was just a question of whether or not they were going to sell off more pieces than Wennberg. Maybe they had three veteran unrestricted free agents that could be useful to somebody else as a playoff rental. And so, yeah, they're not, they're just trying to make it, basically, long story long. They're just trying to make it. And, I think everyone's kind of curious to see whether what they're doing right now is going to, if they could just squeak in at the very end there. But, you know, they're not going to throw a lot of resources at this run because nothing is assured. And if they lose a couple more here, then they're in big trouble. There's only 20 games left.
As February ended, they were only two games above 500, and kind of as you mentioned, they beat a strong Bruins team in a shootout. Shout out the Penguins, 1-2 at Winnipeg and Calgary. You mentioned they're six games back, and they do play Vegas twice coming up. So from your chair, what really needs to take a step forward and click to make that final postseason push?
To be real, honestly, if they just keep going exactly how they are right now, their schedule does ease up a little bit if they can get past this whole thing. But, you know, I say that and I can't help but mention, like you just said, they really do step it up against the big opponents. They've beaten the Canucks, who are resurgent this year. They've beaten the Bruins. They are, you know, when they have to turn it on, they're fully capable of turning it on. And it, honestly, it's occasionally against the not playoff teams that they have their bad losses against. So, you know, maybe the easier schedule isn't a good thing, but if they just kind of keep doing this, you know, they're winning way more than they're losing, and you do have to trust that the Predators have been incredible since the All-Star break, and, you know, maybe they slow down a little bit. They probably need a little bit of help, but the Calgary, the other teams, there were a lot of other teams in the mix. Even last week, the Calgary Flames were very active at the trade deadline. The Minnesota Wild seem to be kind of looking towards the future as well. It's just kind of them, the St. Louis Blues, and the Nashville Predators, and maybe even the Vegas Golden Knights. They're not playing that well right now. There's an opening. There is. Because the Kraken have played well enough to be able to see an opening right now. And it's still a long shot, but they are, as evidenced by what they did today, which is, you know, nothing really besides re-signing Eberle. You know, they're curious. They want to see they think this team isn't going to give up, and they're going to let them do go off, do your thing, see what happens, and everybody's hoping that they manage to pull it out.
We'll see if curiosity killed the Kraken. I just made a new one up there. I want to finish with the former Arizona State Sun Devil. Not a lot of Pac-12 players in the NHL, but Joey Decord at age 27 in the Nets had played a total of 19 games his first four seasons. You know, he was part of that big victory at Boston last month. And then, of course, when Philip Grubauer missed those 2 months, what about his play kind of helping keep the ship afloat?
Like, he was just such a star from mid-December to mid-January. He was the star of the Winter Classic. He was so very good. And they really, I don't like this phrase that much, but they rode him hard. Like, he played so much during that span because the Kraken were winning, and they, Coach Dave Hackstall loves to go with the hot hand in net. And but he was not as good coming out of the All-Star break. And there were theories that maybe he's tired. Maybe he's exhausted, to be honest. But he wasn't quite as good. And Grubauer came out of his injury and kind of took the starting job back and has been playing in Decord hat lately. But that last game that they played in Winnipeg was very good for Joey Decord. He was kind of like his old self. You could kind of see it. He was very, very active all over the place. And that, if you saw that save he made in the last, 6 seconds, just a station dive, it was just to protect this one-goal lead. It was very much him in December again. So he's had his moments. He's had his growing pains. This is his first full, like you said, his first full NHL season. And it's had its ups and downs. But both he and Grubauer are playing really well right now. So you really can't go wrong. And that's another thing that the Kraken need.
Yeah, and it's been an interesting story to follow. Folks, she's Kate Shefty, keeping us wired, covering the Kraken for the Seattle Times. Online, seattletimes.com. On Twitter, keep up with the late playoff rush. Use at Kate Shefty. Hey, Kate, great catching up. Appreciate the time, and look forward to talking again as the stretch run to the season materializes. But as always, thanks a million for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care.